Well, we're very glad that you're here with us today. We're super excited about God things happening, Christmas program coming up, and we're excited for 30 years of God's faithfulness at our church and celebrating that. And as a result, we're still talking about God is faithful. And I just love, we had kind of had this in our heart. You know, we knew it was our 30-year celebration, and, you know, the actual anniversary is like in the spring. We knew we probably would wait till fall to do something. And it's always a little like we want to promote Jesus, but we also want to celebrate what God's doing. So it feels weird to, hey, look at us. We've been here for a long, you know, like that can always feel self-serving. But we just really wanted to talk about God's faithfulness. We want to brag on Jesus. And that's what we're doing. We want to brag on him. Like he's the one that has changed lives and helped us out and shown up and in seasons of discouragement, you know, whatever. And so I just thought it was really interesting that when this series, like I don't sit down with a calendar and plan the sermons. Like a lot of pastors will do that. I'm not that smart. And be able to kind of get things on the right dates or whatever. And I just kind of chuckled because God is faithful is what was in our heart for this celebration coming up and from way back. And when I kind of looked at where we were going to be at in the God is series and saw that last week was God is faithful. And I thought, well, that'd be really cool if that went on a little bit longer because that's what we're, you know, when we celebrate that. And, I was reading through my devotions, doing my devotions this week, kind of just reading through, and I had a verse just jumped out at me. And so I wrote it down. And I just remember Stephen would challenge you to do that. If something jumped out, but I didn't know why at the time. So I wrote it down and wasn't sure where we were going this Sunday with the message and was kind of just looking through things. And I went back to that verse that I had written out. I didn't write it down for a message. I just wrote it down because it stuck out. When you're reading the Bible, something just kind of jumps out at you, just kind of comes alive. If you haven't, keep reading your Bible and pray that God does that for you. And so I went back to that verse, and I thought, oh, there's a lot of richness in here. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. And we're still on God is faithful. And so let's look at this verse. Do you guys remember the Hebrew word for faithful? It's been a week now. So Hesed was the covenant love one, and then it was Emet. Emet. There is no quiz on this. You do not ever have to remember this. But I've been hearing people talk, you know, when I do these Hebrew words or whatever. It isn't to learn. It gives you something to grab a hold of, and that's what I keep hearing from people. Oh, that's the one where God is this and this and this, and like just recounting characteristics of God that you wouldn't have maybe not been able to vocalize before. So that's why we do that. So God is faithful. He's emet. And so it's more than just, like we think of faithfulness as, I'm going to stick with you today, and then tomorrow I'm going to be here. Well, I'm faithful. And then on Thursday I'm going to be here. That's faithful. Like that's kind of like in English what we would think of as faithful. But in Hebrew it's such a rich word. And so it's all of these words wrapped up in this definition. Often we would translate it as faithful, but it's translated, all these words, emet is translated as all those different words and more. So say, God is faithful. God is faithful. Let's go through and say these. God is true. God is right. God is reliable. God is sure. God is firm. God is secure, and God is trustworthy. That's emet. When the Lord stood before Moses and he said, I am the Lord, Yahweh, Yahweh. I'm a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger, abounding in hesed and emet. I am faithful. I am overflowing with trueness. I'm overflowing with rightness. Like I'm real. I'm right. I'm the way things are supposed to be. We talked about construction, you know, when you true up a board, you see if it's crooked, you make sure that it's square to it. It's how it's supposed to be. And that's what God is saying about he is emet. He is how it's supposed to be. Everything that you're feeling that's wrong in your life, it's because it's not lining up with God, because God is how we're supposed, not be God, but the characteristics of that, his righteousness, his holiness. God is, he's saying, I'm abounding in sureness, firmness, security, trustworthiness. Anyone ever had a time in your life, season in your life, where you felt unsure? You felt maybe just a little weak or not solid in your faith, or just maybe questioning, or just not even necessarily questioning God, but just not sure how to proceed? I'm seeing lots of nods. And I think we all go through seasons like that where we're uncertain, we're unsure, we're not as solid as we want to be. And if you're in one of those seasons, or you ever anticipate being in one ever again in your life, today is going to be a good message for you, because I think there's a nugget in the scripture here that we're going to find that is going to be helpful. Hopefully, I can communicate that in a way that you walk out and go, yeah, he was right, that was helpful. So, amen. So here's the verse. It's Hebrews 3:6. And I just want to look at the first part of that right now. It says, but Christ is what? Faithful. We're talking about God is faithful. God isn't mad. But Christ is faithful as the Son over God's house. That's a truth. Christ is faithful. Jesus is faithful. God is faithful. We often feel like God's not faithful. Our emotions often tell us things that are contrary to what's true. Are you with me? You've got a lot of voices in your head, and you've got a lot of things that are vying for your attention. And often our feelings and emotions are one of those. And they're saying, do you remember the guy's name that we talked about last week in the Bible? He had a struggle because he felt like God wasn't being truthful. God wasn't being faithful. Ethan. His name was Ethan. If you guys remember Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and Jonah, and, you know, Paul, and Ethan. So it was Ethan last week that we talked about. He wrote Psalm 89. If you're wondering what this is, go on online, watch it, or look up Psalm 89. And look at Ethan, 37 verses talking about your faithfulness is written in the heavens. And verse 38, he can't handle it anymore. He's saying, but God, I feel like you're lying to me. You're not being faithful. And he just, his feelings, his emotions, his perception of the situation was telling him, I don't think this is true. But yet he knew it was true. That's why he wrote the first 37 verses. He's like, I know this is true, but I don't feel like this is true right now. And so if you're feeling that way, you're in good company. Ethan was, he was almost as wise as Solomon, basically, is what the Bible says, that Solomon was even wiser than Ethan. Do you guys know that? That's crazy. There's so much richness in the scripture. And all these, like, decades later, I'm still reading stuff, and I'm like, wait a minute, there's a guy named Ethan? How many times have I read that? And I've read his name. I love Solomon. I love wisdom. And how many times have I read that story of Solomon? I'm like, wait a minute, Solomon's wiser than Ethan. I'm like, wait, who's Ethan? How do I not know about Ethan? And he even wrote, like, okay, there's a guy named Ethan, but then he wrote Psalm 89. Whoa, Ethan had some clout. He got in the scriptures. Like, he wrote the scriptures. He's not just named, he wrote stuff. Like, that's pretty cool. So Ethan was a wise man, and yet he still had this moment of, I don't feel like God's being faithful to me right now. So I was reading this verse, and it just struck my heart. And so we're going to look at the rest of this verse. So Christ is faithful. Christ is emet. He's faithful. And we are his house. Say, I'm a house. Right? So the gathering together of us, and it doesn't just mean what we're at church, like the body of Christ is the house of God. God is faithful over all his house. So he's not only faithful to you, you can be confident that he's faithful to your neighbor as well. If they are in Christ, Christ is faithful to them. He's faithful to God's house. And we are his house if indeed we hold firmly to our confidence and to the hope in which we glory. And I want to show you what jumped out at me, because it's not highlighted yet, but I want to show you the nugget that jumped out at me when I went back to this verse. It was highlighted. I'm like, man, this is sticking out to me for some reason. Wrote it down, and oh, I don't know, days later for sure, I went back to it, and I went, what is it about this verse? And I went, whoa. So here's what jumped out at me. Christ is faithful, and we hold firmly to our confidence. Say confidence. This secure boldness and belief that God is who he says he is and is going to do what he says he's going to do. It's this free-flowing, it actually has to do with speech even, about we're able to talk about how awesome God is. I'm confident, right? If you're confident in something, we say it, right? But it, yeah.
That one word there that ties it all together is
if. If, right? I know it.
Word, if.
Exactly. Yeah. I didn't want to get caught up in that, so I didn't circle it, but it so is. So that's the decider. If, am I going to focus on his faithfulness? Because then I can be confident. And if we're confident, and then we get to hang on to the hope. So here's the nugget. God is faithful. Therefore, we are confident. Say confident.
Confident.
You said that like you're not confident. Now, I'm going to try this again. I'm going to give you a kind of a wind-up. You ready? Okay? You can see it coming this time. I want you to say you're confident, and I don't want you to say confident, because that doesn't sound like what we're talking about today. Are you ready? That don't sound like they're ready, even. I will not be moved. Yes, you will. I'm confident of it. You ready? Confident. Ready? Confident. That's much better. We can be confident. We can be sound and secure, have confidence that God is who he says he is for me. Say for me.
For me.
For me. And as we just learned, for his entire household. But I'm included in that if I'm in Christ. Amen? Come on. God's faithful, so we're confident. That's the message today. That's what we're going to see in all these other verses and everything else that we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about the beauty of God's faithfulness producing confidence in me. God's faithfulness. So whether you're confident or not, he's faithful. But because he's faithful, I can then be secure and confident in who he is. Because he's faithful, I can be confident. I don't have to be wishy-washy. I don't have to be meager, measly. I can be confident and I can stand firm. Amen?
Yeah.
Standing firm is a good thing. Come on. 2 Thessalonians in chapter 3, starting in verse 1, says this: "In addition, brothers and sisters, pray for us that the word of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored, just as it was with you, and that we might be delivered from wicked and evil men, evil people, for not everyone has faith." Next section says, "But the Lord is faithful." What's the key here today? God is faithful, right? Are we on the same page? God is faithful, but the Lord is faithful. So there's, you know, pray for us that, you know, because not everyone has faith and it's tough out there, right? That's what he's saying. He's saying what you guys say. Oh, it's so hard out there, right? I'm just going to have fun. But if you're offended, then maybe I'm not just having fun. So he's saying, pray for us, you know, not everyone has faith. Pray that we'll be delivered from wicked and evil people. But the Lord is faithful. The Lord is faithful. He will strengthen you, guard you from the evil one. We have confidence in the Lord about you that you are doing and will continue to do what we command. May the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's endurance. And the endurance would be a lot what we think of as the English word for faithfulness. You know, keep on keeping on. Right? Guide our hearts into God's keeping on, keeping on. Because God is faithful, he'll guide us into the keeping on, keeping on. God is faithful, so he'll guide us into the keep on, keeping on of Jesus. Amen? So here's what I see in this. The Lord is faithful, we have confidence. God is faithful, therefore we can be confident. We can be solid and secure. We don't have to be help, right? Now, sometimes you feel like that. But God's given us this fruitfulness of his faithfulness so that we can be confident. We can be assured. We can stand firm. There's a stand firm. I've had a lot more time to marinate in this, so I get a lot more excited about it than you currently are looking back at me right now. But I'm confident that you'll get it because he's good. Because you know what I'm leaning on? Not my preaching. I'm leaning on his faithfulness. And he wants you to see this. He wants you to walk out of here with a nugget today to know that you don't have to just muster it up. You don't have to just work up standing strong. He's going to lead you into Christ's keeping on, keeping on. Because he's faithful. But it all starts with him being faithful. It all starts with God being sound, reliable, true, trustworthy. It starts with that. God is true, reliable, trustworthy, sound, secure, firm, right? He is full of integrity, trustworthy. Because he's that, I can be sound and secure and stand firm and be confident. I can be confident. I can be confident. And I'm not working that up. I'm leaning on his faithfulness. He's faithful, so I can be confident. Amen. He's not standing aloof, hoping that I'm going to be strong and be confident. Because he is faithful and near me and with me, he exudes this strength and surety and confidence and trustworthiness. Therefore, I kind of absorb it and I get confident myself. He's imparting that into me. He's leading us into Christ's endurance. God is faithful. Therefore, we're confident. You're starting to sound a little more confident than we started at the beginning of this. And that's all right. I got a week ahead of you guys, but like I'm fairly convinced we can condense this into a short time period and you can be confident when we leave this place because he's faithful. Next verse says this. Philippians 1, 3 through 6 says, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all of my prayers for you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. Here's what I see. I'm confident that he is faithful, that what he started, he'll finish. Right? That's faithfulness. Well, it doesn't say faithful there. It does. It doesn't say F-A-I-T-H-F-U-L. It says confident that he who started something in you will carry it on. Any of your parents ever saying, I don't care who started it, I'm going to finish it. Yeah, he started it, she said, well, I'm finishing it. Well, God said, I started it, and I'm going to finish it. You can be excited. You won't bother me a bit. In fact, I welcome it. God said, I started it, and I'm going to finish it. That's faithfulness. That's trustworthiness. And Paul said, because of that, I'm confident. I'm confident in the fact that God is faithful. Because he's faithful, I can be confident. I added red circles. I had to download a bunch of different GIFs so I could find one that worked. Because my thing doesn't have a pen that I could use. But my confidence is in his faithfulness. I can be confident. I can be confident. I can be confident. When I walk out in the world and I see it looks like everything's falling apart. When I go to my work and I feel like I'm getting picked on. When I go home and I feel like I'm getting picked on, right? I can be confident that God is faithful. And because he's faithful, because I'm building my life on him, I can exude that same kind of confidence. I can be sure that I'm sure. I can be sure that God's there for me. I can be sure that he's trustworthy, that I'm not just putting my hope in something that's finicky. God is real and he's faithful. Another verse, you ready? Okay, we good? Hebrews chapter 10, that's a big one. Therefore, brothers and sisters, starting in verse 19, it says, since we have confidence, we have confidence. Say, I have confidence. Doesn't sound real confident, but it's a truth is a truth. Okay, all right. We have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and the full assurance. That would be confidence, this full belief that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess, for he who promised might come through, if you're lucky. He who promised will be there if he thinks about it. He who promised might have you on his Google Calendar. He who promised Come on, church. Is faithful. We have this confidence because he who promised is faithful. We have this assurance, this full assurance, because he who promised is faithful. We can do it. Let us hold unswervingly because he who promised is faithful. I think you're starting to believe me. He is sure. He is solid. He is firm. He is trustworthy. He is true. He is right. So we can have confidence. He's faithful, so I'm confident. Because he's faithful, we are faithful and confident. We're adding something else to the mix. Not only are we confident because the Lord is emet, because the Lord is steadfast and sure, and he is faithful, not only can we be confident, but we are called to reflect that faithfulness. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, yeah, gentleness, self-control. But faithfulness is a fruit of the Spirit. If I'm walking with Christ and the Spirit dwells within me, and the part of me that is not the flesh that's getting killed, but the part of me that is empowered by the Spirit starts to look and smell and act like Jesus. And part of that I can know, here's how you can know if you're acting like Jesus, is faithfulness. Faithfulness is a responsiveness. It's a reflection of God's character because God now dwells in us and the fruit of the Spirit begins to be manifest in us. You hear stories all the time about people that just struggled and they get born again and all of a sudden there's this joy. Why is that? It's because the Spirit is filling them up and now they've got joy. They've got fruitfulness, all right? So let's go to another verse. Hebrews 10, 32 and then 34 through 35. Think back on those early days when you first learned about Christ. Remember how you remained faithful, even though it meant terrible suffering? You suffered along with those who were thrown into jail. When you had a moment to think, this doesn't feel like God, you're being faithful right now. You remained faithful. And when what you owned was taken from you, you accepted it with joy. You knew that there were better things waiting for you that will last forever. So don't throw away this confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward that it brings you. Guys, this confidence that you're carrying because the Lord is faithful, it brings reward. It brings fruitfulness. It brings the movement of God on your behalf in your life to walk in that confidence. I know God's got this. I don't know how God's got this. God never asked you to know the how. He asked you to know the who. Are you here this morning? I can't just say amen, hallelujah, right? He never asked you to know the how, he asked you to know the who. Come on for the 30% of you that is amening me right now. The other 70%, God never asked you to know all of the how, he asked you to know the who. Amen. So you can be confident that I might not know the how, but I know the who. I can be confident, this confident trust. I can remain faithful, and I can be confident because he who called you is faithful. Next couple verses in that same chapter said, patient endurance is what you need now so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you'll receive all that he's promised. For in just a little while, the coming one will come and not delay, and my righteous ones will live by faith or faithfulness. But I will take no pleasure in anyone who turns away. But we are not like those who turn away from God to their own destruction. We are the faithful ones whose souls will be saved. Do you see some confidence in the writer of Hebrews there saying, you know who you are? Do you know who you are? You're the we. You're not the we that leaves and ditches this God thing. You're the we that stays. We are the faithful ones whose souls will be saved. We are the faithful ones. Say that with me. We are the faithful ones. Come on. Because God is faithful. Come on, church. I can be faithful. Because God is faithful. It starts with that. It doesn't start with you. It doesn't start with me being, man, look at how good I'm doing for you this week, God. He's like, come on. Take a walk with me. Let me show you some people that are really doing it. You know what? Like, he doesn't do that, but like, That's not what it starts. It starts with, I am abounding in Emet. I am faithful. I am sure. I am solid. I am true. I am integrity. I am trustworthy. And therefore, we're not like those who walk away from the Lord to destruction. We are the faithful ones. We are the faithful ones. We are the faithful earth. We're the faithful ones. We are the faithful ones. George, we're the faithful ones. Come on. That's not talking about us at all. It's talking about an identity that the Lord puts upon us. Come on, church. That's not bragging about you. It's bragging about Jesus. He's called you the faithful ones. Because he's faithful and you are his, you are now the faithful ones. What? How cool is that? Because he is faithful, I can be confident. Because he is faithful, I am faithful. Praise God. Praise God. Just want to talk about something that might seem a little kind of weird right now. Talk about a throwaway society. And that's actually a term. And it has more to do than just goods and services, more than just like, you know, we bought a washer. I bought a washer before I was married. I bought a house in town here and bought a washer, and because I did not own a washer. My mom and dad gave me their dryer that was 30 years old, I think, at the time that I got it. And we used our washer up until about 2 years ago when it was conking out and the circuit board, the control board was going out. So I took it apart and I sprayed it with contact cleaner. It worked a little bit better for a while, but I couldn't really find a replacement circuit board. So I chucked it out in the trees and we bought a new washer. And then it broke down. So that's kind of what we're talking about. The freezer that I have in my basement right now is over 50 years old. I also bought a new freezer last year. They're both running. Neither have broken down, but I bet you can guess which one's going to break down first. It's not the old one, correct? So that's a little bit what we're talking about, and you're like, why or what are you even talking about? Just hang with me for a minute. You'll get it. Exactly. God's faithful, so you'll get it. Amen. So I'm not saying everything on this list is absolutely true, and I'm pointing more towards like kind of a bigger picture. And so every one of you could throw up your hand and say, hey, well, no, that one wasn't, no, you weren't there, you don't understand. So this is, and not even that it was good, just that it was, okay? So we used to have things that were made to last. This is more just describing a time that not all of us experienced, but you know what I'm saying. We used to save up and wait to buy things. Not that people don't do that today, but there's a lot less of that. Because you didn't, not everyone had a credit card in 1972. I had a savings account, and I thought I had about $80 in there. And when I ordered my chemistry set from Sears, when we drove to Sears and ordered the chemistry set, and then we drove back home, and then a week later when the chemistry set came in and we went to buy it, and mom pulled out the savings book that was in her top drawer in her bedroom, there was like $12 in there. And so I, to this day, my mom is angry. Not really. She doesn't even remember it. In my version of the story, I do not know what happened. I swear, so I don't know if it fell out. I don't know if I grabbed my sister's book and looked at that because they both were these little green bank. Remember the little bank books that you used to get from your savings accounts? That's what I had. And she was an angry mama. She's like, where is all of your money? I'm like, I didn't, because we didn't go anywhere, so I couldn't do anything. So I didn't ever spend it, but it wasn't there. But that's how we did things. You saved up for things. And it was, what I'm saying is, it was a slow process. And you were really excited when you got stuff. We often again, there's exceptions to the rule or whatever, but a lot of times people lived closer to family. You worked at the same job for, it was not uncommon for people to be at the same job for a long, long time. And you drove a vehicle for a lot of years, right? Often families just had one. You had friends that lasted for a long time. We waited, we waited for a show to air. If a show came on Friday night, guess what? Guess when you watched that show? Friday night. Right? And you waited all week for that to come out. And if we needed to know something, we went to the library. And we pulled out a drawer, and we rifled through the little cards there and found, okay, aisle G, whatever, the Dewey Decimal System. I never did know how to find books. Would always ask somebody, and they would help me. But we had to go all the way to Webster to the library. So, like, it was like a twice-a-year kind of thing to get a library book, and it was super exciting. So you would hold up all the things that you want to know. You'd write them down somewhere, and then when you went to the library, you could get a book about it, and then you could learn. And it was just information did not move in a fast-paced vein in those days. Things moved at a different pace. I'm not saying that was better or worse. Whatever. I'm just saying that's what it was. That's what it was. But today, we're being conditioned to be, the word I just put in there was fickle, because I couldn't think of a different word that just described so much of what I was feeling. And this is just kind of me and Lord hashing this out, but today, and you can scream at me if these aren't correct, maybe these are totally wrong, but I feel like, this is more of an I feel like versus the Bible says, we want instant lives. I remember doing the internet on dial-up. Right? And if you had a picture that was over 200 kilobytes, it would take the rest of the afternoon to load up. And so, right? You guys remember that? Like hitting the button and then you'd go drive to town and go do something and you'd come back home. This is not exaggeration. You come back home and you'd be like, does it load yet? Now we get mad if the page has like a glitch and I've got to take, this stupid thing, I'm getting a different phone. Right? We need constant stimulation. Like, if we're alone in a room for like 48 seconds and nothing is happening, we're like, what is wrong with this place? We just can't do it. Some of you that are older than teenagers, you can maybe do it for a little. You can go like 50 seconds. But even older people's brains are getting rewired. This is statistics. We have an 8-second attention span right now. According to all the studies, 8 seconds. And often I struggle to have 8 seconds worth of good material in these messages, but I'm trying for 7 to 8 seconds of something you can walk away with. We have disposable relationships. It hurt my heart going through COVID and watching friends of 40 years that no longer talk to each other because this one would do this and this one won't, or he'll, like, and same with politics. And that's not a reflection of how much more evil stuff is. It's how much more fickle we are, that we have no margin of grace for anybody anymore. I'm not trying to make us feel bad. I'm kind of feeling bad. Huh. I'm preaching myself into a depression up here. We're addicted to phone notifications. Come on. Let's do a test right now. Let's all turn up the volumes on our phone, set them all out in the middle, and let it ding about 7 times and see who's going to run over and grab theirs first, right? We need that dopamine. There's a chemical in our body that's released. We need that dopamine hit. And you're like the bell ring, Pavlovian dog, right? The bell rings, you run to the food. Like, we're trained. We need that. We you watch 17 seasons of a show in like one long Dorito covered night. Gotta go to bed. We're gonna drive bus in the morning. Oh, one more. Marty and I would do it. This is back when we were less holy. We'd do the look. And if the other one would kind of look like, one more? Yeah. We'd kind of wait for the first one of us to have enough self-control to kind of like lean forward on the couch and maybe act like you're going to get up and be like, oh, I guess we're not going to watch anymore. But yeah, you'd burn through 15 shows in a, right? In one sitting. We have online shopping addictions. This last line I put in there, this is our philosophy in life. And I'm not just talking about stuff. Throw it away and get a new one. I don't care if that's a friend, if that's a job, if that's a church, if that's a relationship, if that's a vehicle. Just throw it away and get a new one. And I was just, some of these next, I'm just kind of writing my thoughts down just so I could remember them. But just all of this temporary, instant, self-absorbed living, it creates, and there's study after study after study, and I wanted to put some of them in, but I knew it'd be already too much, but like creates anxiety, fear, depression, and illness, not confidence. All of this temporariness does not create confidence. This instant stuff, it does not create confidence. It creates anxiety. It creates illness in your body. It rewires your brain, and it makes you not a good you. This was the line that it was just string around in my heart. It goes against God's rhythms. We're built to anticipate and wait for something, to save up for something and buy it. We're built to wait till Friday night to watch the show. Like, I'm not saying the other stuff is evil. I'm saying it's just not healthy for us when we live constantly. And we're all immersed in that. I don't care who you are and how much you don't do any of the other. Like, it just, the pace of life moves at that kind of pace. We end up being disposable people without even trying. We just get sucked into the vortex of society. Yeah, exactly. Self-control. Well, that's something that monks have or something. I don't know, right? We've been conditioned to live for the moment and live for the instant, but everything within us longs for the eternal and the lasting. The vibration of your soul is screaming for eternity. It's screaming for not the next hit, not the next what am I going to buy, not the next my new friend, not the next new show that's coming out. What your soul is screaming for is something that's lasting, something that's long, something that's eternal. Well, that's boring, but that's what you're crying out for. That's what your restlessness is really about. Hebrews 6, 17 through 19 says, because God wanted to make the unchanging, the long game, not the fickle, not the disposable, not the immediate, the long, eternal, lasting nature of his purpose, very clear to the heirs of what was promised. He confirmed it with an oath. God did this so that by two unchangeable things, in which it's impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope set before us may be greatly encouraged. We have this hope as an anchor for our soul, firm and secure. See, it takes something unchanging to give. We get, like, all these thoughts were swimming in my head. I tried to condense them to a couple slides, but what's spurring this message is we get so much jazz out of the next thing, the scrolling through the Facebook post, the next show, the new series. And that's fine. That's okay. You can be entertained. But what is your soul longing for? Come on, where are you? Where are you grabbing? What well are you drinking from? You see the result of leaning into God's unchanging, unchanging, unchangeable, unchanging, unchangeable. The result is that we who fled to take hold of the hope can be greatly encouraged, and we have this hope as an anchor. The word, if I had to pick a word. Like, God just speaks things and you know, different seasons is different words. The word for me, and I've said it here before, I haven't preached on it really, but I kind of am now. The word that keeps resonating in my spirit is untethered. Untethered. It's untethered. And we're just grasping at straws, and we're not tethered. Do you know what tethered means? Like, is that like they do with, like, hot air balloons? Isn't that what they call that? You tether them, right? I don't know. This isn't what the message is, so I didn't do any research. I don't know what it, but that's just the word that keeps like people are untethered. Even if they love, like, even people that love Jesus and really, and not just saying that, they really do, their lives are they're not tethered to Christ. They're not hooked in. Anchored. Hooked in. I've got a, when I did my roof, most often we were not OSHA approved. But just to make my wife happy, mostly, I bought a couple harnesses that you can hook in, you know. And when I was on the edge of some of that stuff, I did one a couple times. I have a picture of it. Steven and I are up there, and we're both wearing our harnesses. We both were tethered. We were tethered in. We were secure. We were tethered in. Yeah. We were tethered. And so much of us, by default, not by any choice of our own, get untethered. We're not rooted. We're not. It's kind of what I was talking about in that the earlier thing today, about building our lives on Christ. Being hooked in, being tethered. The faithfulness of God is the foundation for my mental and emotional health. It really is. It really, really, really is. Because God is faithful, I can be confident and not emotionally insecure. Lamentations 3:22, I love these verses. Because of the Lord's great hesed, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your emet. Great is your security. Every morning I can wake up. Listen, we're just about done. We're winding up really fast here. Every morning I can wake up immersed in the emet of God, the soundness, the security, the faithfulness. I don't have to be filled with anxiety and unsurety. I can be confident. So, what if that hasn't been your experience? What if you're not confident? We would need an entire another Sunday, but know this. God's faithfulness is the source of my confidence. Not me, not what I've done. I can be confident because he is faithful. He is emet. He is sound. He is trustworthy. He's secure. So, he's the source of that. But, listen to this. I cannot be confident about a God that you know. I've got to be confident about a God that I know. I can be inspired about a God that you know. I can be encouraged about a God that you know. I can be faith-filled about a God that you know. But if I am going to walk in confidence, it's got to be a God that I know. It's got to be a God that I know. Therefore, last verse for today is this verse. We're done. Colossians 2, 6 through 8. And now, just as you accepted Christ as your Lord, Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him. Let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth that you were taught. You'll overflow with thankfulness. Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that comes from human thinking. Yep. Got more amens on that part. Than, you know, I just, this hour, we're going to round two. Come on. High-sounding nonsense that comes from human thinking and from the spiritual powers of this world rather than from Christ. Don't get caught up in the fray, the fickleness of the immediate. Plant your lives in the boring, slow faithfulness. And it's not boring, trust me, but what we would perceive to be the long game. Plant your lives on Christ, and he will dissolve the things that are eating at your soul. Sometimes it's a process. Sometimes it doesn't happen immediately. But as we, the building our life is a process. Right? Amen? Plant your lives on Christ. Because he's faithful, I'm confident. Because he's faithful, I'm confident. Amen. Say it with me. Because he's faithful, I am confident. Amen? Amen. Amen. Thank you, God, for the gift of that sureness, that confidence of building a life that is rooted and built on Christ. And we just pray today that you would help us tear down any foundations that are not on Christ. Help us to not be swayed to the left or the right, but to be planted on Jesus, the rock, the firm foundation for our souls. And we just bless you today. Give us a great week. Give us a great Wednesday night packing boxes in Jesus' name. Everyone said, Amen. Amen.